Ho, 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 beautiful humans. I'm Tymie Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, puppy presents. Hello and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hi there. So once again, it's Christmas time in Rose Library.
Oh, Rose Library.
I did that last year. I reused
yes,
it again.
That's okay.
But it's our second annual holiday Christmas episode.
It is.
Last year we talked about toys as Christmas presents.
I think we need to re-release that one also. Maybe we'll re-release that on Christmas Eve. I'll ask Randy to do that, and this can be our Christmas episode.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So before you listen to that re-release, we're going to talk today about pets or animals as Christmas gifts.
Yes.
So just a brief content warning about animal abuse and neglect for all of our animal lovers.
Right.
Including, of course, my lovely and brilliant co-host.
Thank you. Yes.
Brace yourself.
Yes.
But I did try to keep it, you know, like maybe PG-13, nothing too horrific or graphic.
Yeah, you know, I teach my mass and serial murder class, and we extensively discuss animal abuse, animal sexual abuse, and I always have to brace for those couple of weeks. But, you know, it's the end of the semester, and I'm glad you kept the abuse at a minimum for this episode.
Yeah, only very light descriptions
of that.
Nothing too detailed. One other note before we get started. I want to give a special shout-out to my first cousin, Lanice Baker. She's a librarian in Kentucky, and she told me recently that she's listened to every episode that we've ever released, and that she wishes that we had done more, that we like did more episodes more frequently. I do kind of like our bi-weekly.
Me too.
Yeah, it doesn't put too much of a crunch on us on top of all of our other responsibilities.
Right.
But Lanice, keep listening. She said that she, like, when she's working in the library, she'll put on our episodes and, like, process books, I guess, when they come in. She has to process and put them on the shelf. And that's when she listens to our episodes.
Nice. That's a perfect time to listen. So thanks for listening, Lanice. Mm-hmm. I would have said, that's an interesting name. It's a pretty name. Lanice, I'm also from Kentucky. We appreciate you, and we sent you a t-shirt in the mail.
Yeah, so she might be our new number one fan.
Yeah, Diane doesn't listen anyway, so.
Yeah, so, Diane talks a lot about it, but doesn't listen,
exactly.
And Lanice is exactly the opposite. She's a quiet lurker, but is like our number one stan.
Okay, well, thanks.
All right, so back to our animal Christmas episode, pets as Christmas episodes. Before we talk about pets, do you know why we eat turkey for Christmas?
No, because I did not know that we eat turkey for Christmas. I eat turkey on Thanksgiving, or at least my family did. They have never had turkey on Christmas. Oh. It's always been Christmas ham.
Wow, my mom would cook turkey and dressing
really?
When she did a big meal, both on Thanksgiving and on Christmas.
Not my family.
But we definitely associate turkey more with Thanksgiving.
Right.
But it also is a Christmas feast as well. And maybe more so in Britain.
Yes.
Turkey is more associated with Christmas than in the U.S. But in both cases. But actually, the association of turkey with Christmas feasts predates Thanksgiving by at least 150 years.
I love this fact.
Yeah. The earliest references to turkey at Thanksgiving actually come from new colonists from the UK coming to Georgia, which kind of suggests that the turkey is native to North America.
Right.
So it kind of suggests that, colonists or people from Britain took turkeys back to the UK, and they were kind of like an exotic and came associated with Christmas, and then came back over to the U.S. to be associated with Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And there was Thanksgiving, wild turkey at the first Thanksgiving, but it wasn't like Thanksgiving is a turkey meal. You know, they had like wild turkey and shellfish and all kinds of things. So it wasn't like turkey as the centerpiece.
I love that interesting fact.
And also turkeys, kind of like based on their life cycle, are kind of perfect holiday feast birds because they are born in early summer. They reach adulthood in autumn, and they're ideal for slaughter and feasting by midwinter.
Turkey, if you'd just been born at a different time of year, maybe you wouldn't be a Christmas feast.
Oh, well.
Poor turkeys.
So, that's pretty cool turkey.
Yeah, very cool.
Turkey animal fact.
Yes.
So, have you ever gotten a pet as a Christmas present or a present in general?
Not as a Christmas present, mm-hmm. but I think I shared the story of the divorce present where mm-hmm. my parents were getting divorced. And mm-hmm. so my dad took me to Petland mm-hmm. and let me pick out a gift. And mm-hmm. my gift was a Mexican red-legged tarantula that I named Terry mm-hmm. That lived. I got Terry at 11, mm-hmm. age 11. And he lived until I was 26.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's
yes.
15 years?
Yes. So he was a mm-hmm. divorce present, but still a present, but I got to pick out the present. It mm-hmm. wasn't just gifted to me. And I had just read a book gotcha. Called Tarantulas mm-hmm. on the Brain, and it was about a fifth grade girl who got mm-hmm. a tarantula as mm-hmm. a pet, mm-hmm. and that's the whole reason I wanted it.
Well, yeah, so you yeah. wanted the wanted the tarantula.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a little bit different than what we're going to talk about today.
For sure.
And you wanted it and you take care of it.
Yes, but mm-hmm. never as a Christmas present.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I could like sit here and tell so many pet stories.
No, there's just too many pet stories. I know. Stories.
So I'll just briefly mention Henrietta Pussycat. She yes. was the first cat that I had, and I named her after the cat on Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
And then, of course, there was Sugar, our white Pomeranian Pekingese mix that lived outside and survived being bitten on the snout by a copperhead.
Right.
And being run over by the Suburban by my mom. Oh, my God. Yeah, she survived both those. And then, of course, there's Bullet, the most yes. sadistic, malicious beagle that has ever existed.
We got to give a shout out to Bullet, yeah, RIP Bullet.
Which is so funny because, you know, he died last year around Christmas yeah. time, and none of those were Christmas, you know, Christmas yes. gifts or Christmas presents. But when I was a kid or an adolescent, we got my grandmother a cockatiel for Christmas. She
it
was like
a
big
time,
bird
right?
lover.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she's probably still alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think they live yeah. like,
yeah.
you know,
a long time.
I'm not even going to try to estimate because I could be way off.
Yeah.
But I think it's a long time. So she named this cockatiel Jolly. She loved birds and she took good care of her.
Yes.
And when my mom all passed away, also like literally passed away on Christmas Day in 2015.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. 10 days after her 100th
right.
birthday. But anyway, you know, she took good care of Jolly, and we gave Jolly to a family member who's an animal lover. And I'm pretty sure Jolly's still
kicking
and jollying yeah. today. Yeah. But overall, it's not a great idea to give animals as gifts
no.
or Christmas gifts.
No, and the Christmas holidays are especially not a good time to get a new pet in general. Puppies and kittens can be especially challenging to train and care for around the holidays because it's one of the busiest times of the year.
Yeah, think about like loud noises and inconsistent yeah. routines, and people are coming and going, and that's not good for
right.
puppies or kittens or for any animal that's yes. kind of like transitioning to a new home.
Yes, animals need consistency and routines, especially during the transition to your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the holiday season can also be dangerous for animals.
Very.
So there's lots of like ribbons and extra things laying around that they could eat or choke on.
Yes.
Or lots of electrical cords yeah. to chew on.
Yes, I have a cord chewer. He's a destructive cord chewer, Davos, Sir yeah. Davos Seaworth of Fleabottom. Every cord in my house is wrapped in tape, and I buy this stuff on Amazon that's mm-hmm. pet deterrent. He loves to chew cords and try to kill himself. But also, this is the time of year that as cat lovers, we share, you know, sort of a meme about tinsel on Christmas mm-hmm. trees because
mm-hmm. yeah.
string is very dangerous for cats. They will mm-hmm. eat it, and it yep. can kill them very quickly, getting in their intestines and entwined. And so it's really dangerous to have any mm-hmm. of that around cats specifically.
Yeah, and there's also food trouble that animals can get into. Lots
yes.
of extra food and sweets around. Actually, one of my friends from high school, and she's actually an animal trainer, so she like rescues and trains animals.
Yeah.
She had a Malinois that she had rescued, and she was doing some holiday cooking, and it had like the concentrated cacao on the
no.
counter
oh, no.
and left it on the counter and left, and the dog like climbed up on the counter and it died. You know, I always thought that was kind of like an exaggeration or a
yes.
myth, but this was also kind of like the pure concentrate
right.
cacao. And it was awful.
Yeah.
But animal companions are not a great gift idea, especially for a child
yes.
and especially not as a surprise.
Just to make a viral video. No.
Yeah.
Children, you know, are not aware really of the responsibilities of caring for an animal unless mm-hmm. they've been taught and prepared. So they may not be able to fully do so. So the parent, yeah. if you get one, you kind of know you're going to be having to help mm-hmm. or assist. And if it's a surprise, the recipient may not want the responsibilities of caring for an animal or want them after they learn what is involved in doing it.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a lot. Yeah. Like the responsibilities of caring for an animal is a lot.
Yes.
First of all, it's a long-term commitment.
Yes.
So if we're talking about a tarantula or a puppy or a kitten, a cat or a dog, it could be 14 to 20 years lifespan caring for that animal. And the specific responsibilities of caring for an animal include understanding the unique needs of whatever breed of pet that you have.
Yes.
And you've got to provide the correct diet.
Yes.
You've got to deal with health care, provide good, appropriate health care. Take care of socializing and training your pet.
Right.
Deal with all of the restrictions that having a pet have on your life. You can't be away from home for long periods of time.
Right.
You got to go home and check on them, or they can put, serious, dampen your travel.
Yes.
That can be a big, dealing with, how to get care for your pet while you're traveling.
Yeah.
And then of course that can add, responsibilities in terms of cleaning your home or damaging your home. And it's expensive.
Yes.
Paying for all the food,
yes,
dietary needs, health care, vet visits, as I'm sure you can attest.
Of course, my costs are astronomical because I'm caring for every stray animal in the city of Harrisonburg.
Yeah.
No, just my own cats. I feed them high quality food because I'm privileged enough to be able to afford to do that.
Yeah.
If not, they'd just be getting, what everybody, all the stray cats are getting.
Friskies or dog, Olroy.
Yeah.
Isn't that the Walmart brand, Olroy?
Yes, Olroy. There's actually a Great Value Walmart brand that even the stray ferals from the Taco Bell colony would not eat. It's not even food. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Who knows what's in that?
Yeah. So expensive. Very.
Yeah. And it's expensive. Forbes estimates that the cost of caring for a pet is at least $780 per year.
Yeah, right.
And it could be about $16,000 for a cat with a 15-year lifespan.
That is a gross underestimate for my cat.
Yeah, so
it's probably because I buy them so many toys too. But
yeah, toys and high quality food and extra medical care,
so they don't tear up your furniture. And there's a lot.
Yeah, maybe that's an average, $780 per year per cat.
Yes.
So one cat that could be an average. For a larger dog, Forbes says it's about $1,500 per year.
Yeah.
And it can be anywhere from between $22,000 to $82,000 for a 12-year lifespan for a dog. And they're taking into account things like dog walkers and dog sitters.
Right.
So your point about it could the span of cost could be widely varying.
Yeah, it's still cheaper than having an actual kid.
yeah.
But it's still very expensive. Mm-hmm. And also adding in costs about pet sitting. You mentioned travel and stuff. And, pet sitting is very expensive if I want to go out a leave for a day or something. Mm-hmm. So given these things we've just talked about, it's easy to see why giving an animal as a Christmas gift is not a great idea.
Right.
What are some of the other issues, problems, concerns?
Well, a lot of the bigger issues kind of stem from the problem of having an unwanted pet. So if you get an animal for Christmas that you don't want or that you can't take care of, what happens?
Either you keep the animal and you don't take care of it.
Right.
And it ends up being abused or neglected, or you give it away, or you relinquish it to an animal shelter.
Yeah. So a lot of ads around this time, I've seen memes on Facebook and ads on TV. I think about that, Sarah McLachlan, Arms of an Angel. I think we did that bit for the Halloween, Halloween candy. Millions of kids die every year from tainted Halloween candy. But the commercial is a really sad.
It's very sad.
Abused, neglected animals. So the idea is that shelter admissions and abandoned animals kind of skyrocket after the holidays because of unwanted pets that are given as gifts. And there's some anecdotal evidence of this. So as I was reading a report, it would say this shelter says that, admissions increase, or just a meme with uncredited data sources. But I couldn't find any definite statistics to deny or confirm, whether this drastic increase of shelter admissions after the holidays is real or not.
Okay.
But what is not disputed is that, animal shelters are definitely overcrowded.
Absolutely.
In the U.S. And I read an article on Psychology Today, and I thought this was neat. It said animal shelters are, we frequently think of them as the Goodwill store.
Right.
You drop off unwanted things there and others can come and get your secondhand stuff.
Yes.
Cheap. Mm. But an organization called Shelter Animals Count keeps data on animal shelter populations in the U.S. So when we look at recent trends, there was, you know, quite a dip in the number of shelter animals during the pandemic.
Yes.
But the number of animals in shelters began to climb again in 2021.
Right. People were staying home and mm-hmm. adopted more.
Yeah. That was one of the ways that people could cope with pandemic yes. isolation stress is get something, get an animal to care for. Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't even, before I started that sentence, I was not even thinking about you.
Yeah, I got Davos absolutely. In September of 2020.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. But a lot of experts point to economic struggles as reasons, like the state of the economy while the shelter's overcrowded. People are
yes.
Giving up their pets because it's too expensive, or they're not adopting because they don't have the money right now.
Right.
And it's particularly a bigger issue now with dogs and cats. So apparently
people
shelters,
just let their cats outside and end up caring mm-hmm. for them. So they just let them go.
Yeah. Stray cat colonies.
Yeah.
But shelters that are really having a problem with dogs right
now.
Yeah. In 2023, there were 6.5 million admissions to shelters across the U.S., which is an increase of 250,000 over the previous year.
Yeah.
So the mid-year report for 2024 indicates that there might have been a slight decrease in shelter intakes, but the length of stay in shelters is increasing.
Oh,
so
no.
again,
maybe
a few less admissions, but.
Yeah.
Less adoptions either.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't getting adopted. But when we look at the types of admissions, about a quarter of admissions to shelters are relinquishments. I had a hard time getting that one out. Relinquishments.
It's been
25%.
A long day.
Yeah, 25% admissions by relinquishment. And about half are strays. And then the other are kind of transfers and.
Right.
More administrative type of things.
Yeah, there are lots mm-hmm. of animals who need a home.
Yeah, that's for sure. And if you're considering a cat or a dog as a Christmas gift, and I'll talk more about kind of the do's and the don'ts in a minute. So maybe it's not totally off the table.
Right.
But if you're considering it, definitely get an animal from a shelter or a rescue.
Yes. By adopting from a shelter, you're saving an animal's life. Mm-hmm. And you can get an adult dog who is already trained instead of a puppy, mm-hmm. high energy, or a kitten, high energy, mm-hmm. that you have to train. And you don't have all of that puppy energy.
Yeah.
You can also avoid getting an animal from a breeder or a puppy mill.
Yeah, in breeding facilities and puppy mills are bad.
Yes.
According to Paws.com, 90% of dogs from pet stores come from breeding facilities.
Yes.
In breeding facilities or puppy mills, you've probably heard the puppy mill word, breeding facilities. These are like commercial facilities that mass produce animals for sale.
Yes.
And the Humane Society estimates that currently there are 10,000 puppy mills active in the U.S.
Yeah, and it's bad enough that there aren't already enough homes for pets born every year, given what you just mentioned about shelter statistics.
Right.
So breeding animals on top of that is wasteful, unnecessary, unethical, cruel, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. So there's more than enough, animals that need a home,
right.
Strays and rescues that we don't need to be kind of like pumping them out of these puppy mills. And as you mentioned, not only is it wasteful and unnecessary, but conditions in these facilities are frequently really bad.
Yes.
They're overcrowded. The animals are kept in filthy cages filled with their own waste. They have little shelter from the weather. So I was reading a Humane Society report on puppy mills, and one of the examples was a puppy mill that was shut down in 2009 in Stewart's Draft, Virginia, which is just right down the road from us.
Yes.
But of when they shut that puppy mill down, of the animals that were rescued, 60% of those required emergency vet care.
Yeah.
80% suffered from parasites, and I'm assuming that's like primarily fleas and ticks, I'm guessing what that is. 40% were underweight and 35% were dehydrated.
Yeah.
So the animals were in really bad state there.
Yes. Unfortunately, that's not the only one. There was one just shut down in Augusta County.
Mm. More recently?
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. So I just kind of ran across this by accident.
Yes.
I wasn't looking for local cases, but I just pulled that up because of that. The Humane Society also estimates that 500,000 dogs are currently being kept solely for breeding purposes.
Goodness.
So this is not just all of the dogs in the puppy mill.
Yes.
These are just the breeders, the ones that they are, being kept, they're being worked, they're being bred repeatedly. And once they can no longer produce litters anymore, they're euthanized.
Yes.
So, you know, bad conditions, bad breeding dogs, and the health of the dogs produced in puppy mills and breeding facilities are often bad because of inbreeding and overbreeding.
Oh, yeah.
So we often kind of think of like purebred dogs as like, you know, healthy, but that's not the case because of like overbreeding and inbreeding. Genetic conditions are worse and they're more likely to occur.
Didn't that happen with Bullet? Wasn't a lot of his problems and issues a result of inbreeding and overbreeding?
It's likely. I mean, not definitive.
Yes.
But, you know, one of the vets that kind of handled the end-of-life care said, like, his condition sounded like Springer rage, which was like a genetic condition.
Right, that's what
that
I was thinking
in
about.
Springer spaniels, which is kind of in a beagle.
Yeah.
But that it's kind of like a degenerative condition that causes like allergies and like random aggression, which Bullet had both of those.
Yeah.
And I know that he was rescued or they got him from a facility and it was in, he was in bad shape.
Yeah.
The facility was in bad shape where they got him from. So, you know, because of like the breeding practices, the genetics aren't good.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes the puppies don't get the vet care and the you know, the health care that they need in these facilities. And also because of the nature of breeding these puppies, then they also have like socialization problems, behavior problems because, you know, overcrowding, they have to like, you know, fight for food and those types of things, and also being weaned or taken from their mothers too early can cause behavioral problems.
Oh God, this episode is depressing me.
This is the worst part. This is the worst part.
So aren't puppy mills illegal?
Well, you can't be cruel to animals. That's definitely a crime.
Right.
And, you know, animal cruelty and neglect laws vary by state. But in 1966, the Animal Welfare Act was passed, and that specifically has requirements and licensing for breeders and dealers that, you know, establish humane conditions for facilities. But a lot of critics argue that they're under-enforced, that, you know,
of course,
things have to get really horrifically bad before a breeding facility is shut down.
Right.
But if people would adopt or rescue or get their animals from shelters, there wouldn't be a demand for puppies from puppy mills anymore.
Exactly. Adopt, don't shop.
Mm-hmm.
So all the experts agree, right, that you shouldn't get animals as gifts?
Well, actually, the ASPCA has kind of switched its position on pets as gifts recently, and largely because of the overcrowding problem. So it's kind of like, we've got all these animals in shelters, you know, we need to kind of change our position on gifts to get animals out of shelter. So they kind of advocate it now. And they conducted a recent survey, and the results of that survey found that 86% of pets who were given as gifts are still in the homes that they were gifted to. And that survey also found that pet relinquishment from gifts is actually lower compared to a pet from a pet shop or from a shelter or a stray. And 96% of people who got a pet as a gift said, you know, in that survey that it either increased their love for the pet or it wouldn't change how they would feel about the pet compared to self-acquisitions. But then I saw some other animal advocates who were kind of questioning that survey and methodology in particular. So one of the problems is it didn't have an appropriate comparison group.
Mm-hmm.
There were also some measurement issues. So pet retention was only measured as like 24 hours. So if you kept it for 24 hours, then you were considered as keeping your pet. So
that's not enough time.
Yeah, I know. Like who's going to give their, you know, sweet puppy away in 24 hours?
Right.
It's going to take longer than that.
Yeah.
And there were also like apparently 71 different options for why your pet was relinquished.
Yeah.
And an unwanted gift was only one of those.
Yes.
And others included things like, you know, no time, money, allergies. So people probably give their unwanted gift pet back and they don't think, oh, I just didn't want it, but some other problem.
Yes.
So it probably undercounted that.
Okay.
And also the survey questions weren't released, so there may be other things in there that we don't know about.
Yeah.
So it's controversial whether to say absolutely like no puppy presents or not. But if you are thinking about it, here are some general guidelines to think about if you're considering an animal as a Christmas gift.
Right.
So first of all, only give a pet to someone as a gift if they've expressed a sustained interest in having a pet.
Yes.
So, you know, again, no surprises. Make sure you're giving an animal to someone who really wants one, and your right. share will take care of it. As we've said repeatedly, yes. get your animal from a shelter or a rescue.
Shop.
Adopt,
yes.
don't shop. I like that. And don't surprise. I kind of said this earlier, but don't surprise anybody with an animal gift. If you're considering a puppy present for yourself or for someone else, or if you're just considering a pet in general, here are some good things to consider. Ask yourself the following questions. Do you have a serious commitment to caring for an animal
yes.
long term? Mm-hmm. Do you understand age-related needs and illnesses among animals? You know, if you're not living alone, is everybody in the household willing to make a commitment to caring for the animal?
Yes.
Is anybody allergic to animals? That's not a fatal flaw. Some people can overcome allergies. Yes. Some people can't,
Me.
Depending on the severity.
I take a lot of meds.
Mm-hmm. Can you provide the right environment for the animal? Do you have the finances needed
right.
to meet all the needs of the pet?
Yes.
Do you have the time necessary to care for the pet? You know, spending time
right.
with them, walking, exercising, training, socializing.
Yeah.
So if you answered no to any of these questions, contact the law firm of Marks and Harrison today.
Or reconsider.
Buying a pet as a gift for someone.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I guess I would also add that if you get the pet and then mm-hmm. something happens, you're no longer able to care for mm-hmm. it, that there are lots of rehoming posts on social media about mm-hmm. people who are no longer able to care or they need some stuff, you know, and food, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, sort of a last mm-hmm. resort option. You know, there are things that you can do basically mm-hmm. so that you don't abuse, neglect, or relinquish the pet first.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely don't want to give the impression or message here that I'm saying, like, don't give your pets away and let them be neglected. Like, if you can't care for them, absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
But also I'm saying, like, think carefully yes, before you
sure.
get a pet if you can do that. Sometimes
oh, yeah.
unforeseen things happen and arise.
Yes. Parents definitely think yep. through this, especially if you're getting it for a child. So what mm-hmm. are some other final things that we should consider?
Well, I saw this recommendation repeatedly. If you're, like, really committed to getting an animal as a Christmas gift, probably a better option than going and shopping for the animal is to get a gift certificate to cover the adoption at a local shelter or
yes.
rescue. And then you can put together, like, a little pet supply bundle, you know, toys and food and bedding.
Yes.
And you can even, like, get a nice little cute stuffed animal and, you know, wrap it in the package with the gift certificate. But let the person pick out their own animal. I read in one place that the best pet selection process is to let the pet pick you
yes.
instead of you picking the pet. And I thought that was, like, a neat way to think about it.
Yeah, there's this meme. It's funny, though, because mm-hmm. it's about a dog person who's mm-hmm. getting prepared to adopt this dog, and they're talking about all the training and everything mm-hmm. they're going through, and then there's a picture of Baby Yoda holding a cat saying, I found him in the trash.
Yeah, that is cute.
Yes.
Well, I think that's all I have to say. You got anything else?
I do not.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up then with our minute to spin it. We'll wrap it up with nice Christmas
with
bows
a
and
nice
packages.
Christmas bow.
With our minute to spin it.
Yeah.
So what's your spin, Tommy?
So it's hard to advise people not to adopt during the holiday season, given mm-hmm. how overcrowded shelters
yeah.
are year round.
Yeah.
And in fact, our local nonprofits, the Rockingham County SPCA and Cat's Cradle, they reduce their adoption rates during the season because mm-hmm. they're so overwhelmed trying to find homes for the animals
yeah.
that they have. With Cat's Cradle, they're all in foster homes, but the shelter is mm-hmm. continuously at capacity. This year, the Bissell Pet Foundation is hosting an Empty the Shelters Holiday Hope event where you can name your adoption price and get a dog or a cat for as little as a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that kind of adds to getting yeah. animals as presents if it's, you know, kind of,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, they have no choice, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to spread a little Christmas cheer, you can also help out one of your favorite podcast co-hosts, feed a handful of adorable strays.
Yeah.
I spent the weekend making custom cold weather shelters for the outdoor cats. I'm always happy to have some help. Bring your children over to my house and I'll put them to work. Hit me
mm-hmm.
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, absolutely. What's your spin?
Don't get a dog or a kitty cat or even a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. So I think I actually recycled that from last. I think hippopotamus was my last spin for the last.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't do a lot of Christmas songs in our episode.
That's
this year.
Okay.
I was too focused on cats. But again, your point is taken, and I definitely, you know, want to make sure
yeah.
our listeners understand. I'm not saying, like,
yeah.
you know, don't go get an animal, especially if you, you know, want one, want to right. care for one. Just, you know, think carefully.
Think about it. Yeah.
And don't do it without making sure you yeah. can handle the responsibility. You were talking about a meme. I saw this ad that PETA put out, and it was a dog with like its leg hiked peeing on a Christmas tree and the Christmas presents underneath it. And the text said, the only business a dog has doing under the Christmas tree this year. So I thought that was pretty cute. Yeah,
yeah.
But if you're considering gifting an animal to someone right. for Christmas, like we said, don't surprise yeah. them. Adopt, don't shop. Think about the responsibilities carefully and yes. definitely get an animal from a shelter. Yeah. No mill puppies.
No mill puppies. Yeah.
And, you know, just to conclude, we want to thank our listeners for sticking with us this year.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. And if you're new, we're so thankful for you and so
we're
glad
thankful.
That you're here. Yeah.
Yes.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy holidays and happy Christmas, Ha Kwanzaa Hookah. It was a word that combines Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa, but
nice.
I think I just messed it up. But anyway, happy holidays,
yeah,
everyone.
Happy holidays.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. Check out our website, linked in show notes, to see how you can support our educational programming.